A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 262. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television. And this time we are talking about being human. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
Being Human ran for a total of 5 series, 37 episodes in all, about an hour each. Running on BBC Three from 2009 through 2013. And it shows the trials and tribulations of three 20-somethings, or apparent 20-somethings, trying to find their place in the world and sharing an apartment together, with just a bit of a twist there.
Yes, there'd have to be a twist, because if it was, as you say, just the three 20-somethings trying to get on in their house share, it wouldn't fit our genre, as it were. But, of course, they are all supernatural creatures, which is the big complication and puts the title Being Human into some sort of context for us. So there's some spooky and creepy goings on along the way, as well, as you say, Brian, as the sort of difficulties of making your way in the world when you're a 20-something, or at least you look like you're 20-something.
Yeah, at least starting there and doing lots of twists and interesting things with this setup over time.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about the setup. And it almost sounds like the beginning of a joke when what happens when a vampire, a werewolf, and a ghost walk into the same house. Because we're introduced right to the start to two apparently young men in their 20s, Mitchell and George, both trying to either control or possibly reject their supernatural tendencies and just fit in. And they're looking for somewhere to stay.
That's right. So they end up in this apartment where Annie, a ghost, is residing.
Yes, already staying there. So that's our trio, as you say, going to be flatmates.
Yes, and George and Mitchell have jobs as hospital porters, and they've just moved into this rented suite. And there we have Annie into the mix, and they are this dynamic trio already together and already living in this place as the series starts. So it really hits the ground running.
Yes, and we should probably mention fairly early on, I suppose it's fairly obvious, but one of the conceits of being human is that supernatural creatures are aware of other supernatural creatures. So Annie, who is a fairly recent ghost, people can't see her, but George and Mitchell can. And I think likewise, George and Mitchell instantly know the nature of each other and other characters that they're going to meet along the way.
Yeah, they tend to have perceptions that are pretty good at figuring those things out. Now, the characters, and this is sort of how the characters start out in this series, because there are changes along the way. John Mitchell, or just Mitchell, played by Aidan Turner, is a vampire who is over 100 years old and trying to control his urges to drink blood and to kill. So he's trying to be someone who is not causing harm to humans.
Yes, and likewise, George Sands, played by Russell Tovey, an actor who we've seen in New Doctor Who, he is a werewolf, and he is also trying to control his sort of supernatural tendencies and not harm anyone, which he's, you know, very, very concerned about. So how does he control his transformations at the new moon? And as I say, him and Mitchell appear to be friends. They've moved into this house, but they're instantly aware that there's another sort of occupant in the same space as them.
And that is Annie Sawyer, played by Lenora Critchlow. She is a ghost who was someone who had just recently died in that very house where they are, died by falling down the stairs. And it's over time that we sort of learn more details about that. But it was basically, you know, she fell and cracked her head open and didn't survive. Also, part of being a ghost is she is always wearing what she wore when she died, which is sort of the very casual things she was just wearing around the house.
Yes, and she was living in the house with her boyfriend at the time, a character from the first season called Owen Narayan, played by Greg Chillin. And he's now moved out of the house and rents it out to Mitchell and George. But of course, he's unaware that Annie's ghost still lingers on and there is stuff to be resolved between them in a way.
Yes, and there is a dynamic there that has to be played out, especially during the first season. Nina Pickering, played by Sinead Keenan, is a nurse who becomes romantically involved with George, and her role early on is mostly as George's girlfriend, but she becomes a much more prominent part of the series, and I won't spoil too much, at least in our first half here, about how that happens, but she becomes a much more prominent part of the series as things go on.
Yeah, she is an important character and, you know, part of George just wanting to settle down and be, as you say in the title, being human. But yeah, and she gets her own role to play in things later on.
Yeah, very interesting character too.
We'll mention one of the villains. This is a show, as you say, Brian, it runs 37 episode 5 series, so there will be a variety of villains along the way. A rather good villain for the first season, and he does come back later on, again, without too many spoilers, is a character called William Herrick, played by a marvellous actor, Jason Watkins, who's, we were discussing before starting recording, he's in quite a lot of shows at the moment, Brian. He's a very popular actor. And he is the vampire king of the local vampire community. He is the vampire who converted Mitchell during World War I. And he has very definite plans for the future of the vampire community and the future of humanity as well. And he makes a great villain. He's often masquerading, or he in fact appears to be a member of the British police force. So that allows him to get away with a great deal of stuff as the bad guy. And I thought quite, you know, a great performance by Jason Watkins.
Yes, absolutely. And he gives us part of the idea that the vampires are very good at integrating into society in such a way that they can hide their presence from the general population. And they also have their own politics and sort of empire building going on there, which Herrick is a very prominent part of.
Yes. And as we've said, this is a series a bit like when we talked about the Channel 4 series Misfits, that because it ran for quite some time, it does experience some changes in the main cast as it goes along. So although we've sort of talked about, and we will be talking a lot about the first and second series in our first episode here, as it progresses, it has to deal with characters coming and going, new vampires, more werewolves, more ghosts, and so on. And we'll talk a little bit about some of those cast changes in our second episode, Brian.
Yes, we don't end up with the same main cast at the end of things, but we always have that idea of a vampire, a werewolf, and a ghost sharing a house or an apartment, and sort of many of the same ideas. And there is quite a bit of continuity between characters. When one character sort of disappears, the one who replaces is often one who had been in a smaller role for a while in the show already. So they handle it quite well, I think.
Yes, that's right. The difficulties of a changing cast, but yes, handled quite well by being human.
So getting into the story a bit more, Mitchell and George can always see Annie. It varies whether humans can see Annie and can see other ghosts or not. Over time, I think we move more to the idea that they can't. But as you mentioned, Damon, the supernatural creatures are very good at recognizing each other. And that's sort of a theme of things, is the dynamic between werewolves and vampires, or the sort of dynamic and things that happen within the vampire community or the werewolf community, and ghosts interacting with each other and with the others as well. There is this whole sort of society that's going on that's hidden from the general public.
Yes, and of course it's a familiar trope from supernatural movies and TV that werewolves and vampires traditionally don't get on. And that is, you know, to some extent in Being Human. So it is quite unusual for Mitchell and George to be such close friends and to form such a close friendship with Annie. And they form this unlikely trio at the centre of the show. And I think it's fair to say that as the show goes on, you know, their friendship deepens and it becomes at times, you know, it's very emotional stuff, Brian, some of the things that happen to the main characters. So it's a show that deals with a great deal of emotion about some very dramatic events in their lives.
Yeah, it has plenty of action and driving plot threads and so on. But there certainly is an emotional core here and lots of character drama that really sort of nicely balance things out.
And then, of course, along the way, we've got some almost allegorical sort of features. We've got Mitchell the vampire trying to control his addiction to blood. We've got George, who's trying to reject the sort of wild side of his character and just settle down and be normal. And of course, he's also got to deal with his transformation. So he ends up being locked in a room under the hospital or in various dungeons at various points by Mitchell and Annie. It's, I suppose it is slightly amusing how many buildings they seem to encounter with lockable basements or dungeons in this series, Brian, which is probably just as well, I suppose.
There do seem to be a fair number of them, and they do interesting things with trying to find places in the forest, too.
And then, of course, there's Annie, who is dealing with being a ghost, and this idea that ghosts have something to do before they can pass over, and that there is some resolution to Annie's storyline. And, you know, as I've already hinted, this has got something to do with her ex-boyfriend and what happened to her that, you know, needs to be resolved at some point. So, you know, each of the characters have got their own sort of things they're working through that sort of relate to their supernatural natures. But they've also got, you know, who makes the tea, who does the washing up, dealing with the neighbours, that sort of stuff that affects people when they're trying to live together.
Yeah, Annie is trying to find herself, and in some ways the others are too. And you have this nice thematic idea of being human, that they are trying to find lives to live, to be more like humans and more like decent people living their lives, rather than being caught up in all of these strange things that are going on. And we get the local group of vampires who are looking at taking more and more power and being more and more dominant in society without showing themselves, or maybe they will show themselves. They are using humans, you know, as their food source, basically. So you have some fairly complicated and intense things building up in that side of things, with that sort of society there that has a political feel to it, in some ways has a gang type of feel to it as well.
Yes, and we should perhaps mention, while we're talking about the vampires organising and existing in sort of human society, that the vampires of Being Human do share sort of some of the traditional features of vampires. They don't show reflections. Some of them can be repelled by religious symbols, but they can exist in sunlight. They can go out in the day. So it is possible for them to hold down jobs as hospital porters or police officers and so on. But then again, you know, at times they transform almost in a Buffy fashion with the black eyes and the fangs that suddenly appear, which is a nice effect used quite well.
Yes, the sunlight limitations are not in this show, but many of the other common vampire ideas are. They have to be invited in in to enter someone else's dwelling place. They can only be fully killed with a stake through the heart and sort of vanish into dust when that happens and so on.
Yes, there is one particular sequence I'm thinking of where one vampire enters a house without being invited in, and it is it's rather grisly, I think, Brian. It's, you know, what happens to them.
Yes. So getting into our production notes, Toby Whithouse created Being Human when he was asked to write a drama about three young people sharing a house. And his idea of three young people sharing a house that he felt he could get to work just happened to involve a werewolf, a vampire, and a ghost. He had, I think, already written School Reunion for Doctor Who by that point. And he would go on to write a number of other Doctor Who episodes. He wrote Greeks Bearing Gifts for Torchwood. So his British science fiction involvement is significant.
Yes, and I, as you say, I do like this idea that the production company Touch Paper asked him to come up with a drama about three young people sharing a house, and that for a while he struggled with it until he decided to introduce the supernatural concept. And then, of course, he was away to the races and with a brilliant concept of the vampire, werewolf, ghost, house share. And they were asked to produce a pilot episode for a BBC Three pilot season, where it was one of, I believe, five or six different shows that were made and see which would be adopted for a series. And interestingly, although the character names are the same in the pilot, only one of the sort of main cast, Russell Tovey, who's still playing George in the pilot, but Mitchell was played by Guy Flanagan and Annie was played by Andrea Riseborough. And interestingly, when I sort of remembered this show and the character of Herrick, it was Adrian Lester who I remembered playing him. And of course, I was thinking back to the pilot where that happened. And I can't remember what the other shows were, but obviously Being Human was the sort of popular one. And as a result of an online vote and petition, it got the go-ahead for a series. And that's why we've had five seasons, and that's why we're talking about it now.
That's great that one of these sort of pilot seasons, like this one from 2008, did work and give us a new show that ran for several years and gave us a supernatural show as well, which is quite cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's good stuff from BBC Three, which is a shame that they're no longer doing this, or at least they've gone now to an online presence only.
Yes, that's right. So the first two series of Being Human were filmed and also set in Bristol and had, I think, a fairly strong feel of Bristol in them. You know, you have that sort of look to it. And after that, with the third series, they moved production to Barry Island in Wales. And this was part of a move at the BBC to shift productions out of London and have productions being done elsewhere. And it was incorporated into the show where the characters escape and move to Wales. And this is nicely written in, and the show goes on from there.
Yes, and as you can probably imagine, for a show with 37 episodes, we don't get one writer or director throughout, so we get a number of different directors. Toby Whithouse does write, I think, most of the first season, and he writes regularly through the remaining four seasons, particularly, I think, key episodes. Often the opening and closing episodes seem to be, I noted, by himself.
That's right, he certainly did a lot with this series.
We've got special effects, of course, for a supernatural show. I've mentioned the vampire's sort of eyes and the fangs that appear very suddenly when they snarl and turn, and that's well done. You've mentioned, you know, staking a vampire and their slow sort of dissipation when that happens. It's not the instantaneous effect from, say, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's more slow and grisly, and that's, I thought, very well done. And then, of course, we've got werewolf transformations and actual werewolves used sparingly, often implied because, you know, you hear the sounds coming from locked rooms that George is trapped in. But they do. You will see werewolves and you will see the transformation scenes. And I thought they were very well done, Brian, for a, you know, television show. Pretty effective stuff.
Yeah, I think they were pretty well done. I think it was probably a good call to not focus on the transformations in close-up too much and to have lots of implied things as well. But certainly with what we see and with what we don't see, it works very well.
Yes, I think those sequences benefit from being extremely well edited and implying perhaps a lot more than we necessarily see. So yeah, it does work very well.
Yes, I think so. Being Human was broadcast with Series 1 starting on January 25th, 2009, and went through the fifth season, which ended on March 10th, 2013, all broadcast on BBC Three. And it won a variety of British TV awards and also was nominated for a great number of awards. So it actually, I think, critically did quite well.
Yes, it was a critical and rating success. Toby Whithouse will pick up some writing awards along the way. Yeah, you know, it's a successful show for BBC Three. Once again, you know, sad that they're no longer doing this sort of stuff, but there you go.
So we should talk about availability.
Yes. So as ever, we start in Region 2, where things are always slightly easier. So the 5-series box set is currently on Amazon for about £23. You'll find various extras, the usual deleted scenes, bloopers, cast interviews and so on. I confess I've not had a chance to see any of those because I've been watching all 5 series on Netflix. Currently, they're all up there on Netflix. If you have a Netflix subscription, you can jump straight in. I don't know where the original pilot is and whether that's on any of the box sets, but certainly, you know, streaming becoming increasingly a feature for shows that we talk about, certainly modern shows, Brian. So nice to have it there.
Very good. So in Region 1, the individual seasons have been released on DVD. There have been some Blu-ray releases as well. There is a 5-series bundle with all of the box sets available for $69 on Amazon.com. There is also plenty of availability for the Blu-ray sets and Amazon Instant purchases and so on. All 5 series are available on Netflix Canada. They are not available on Netflix in the US.
Okay, but at least ways to see this stuff. Nice for it to be on Netflix Canada, Brian.
Yes, I watched the whole series there. And certainly this is a show where you can find it. The availability is pretty good. You can find copies of this one.
Great stuff.
So that wraps up the first half of our Being Human discussion. So next time we will talk a bit more about some of the ongoing storylines and some of the things they cover in the show, and also some of the cast changes and new characters that come into it and so on.
And it's also a show that's had some spin-offs. You know, we like to cover those when they occur, and we've got a couple to talk about when we get to our next episode. Plus, of course, we'll review and recommend the series on either DVD or Netflix and let you know whether we think you should be watching it.
There is plenty for us to talk about next time. So until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com, or if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our Facebook group there, where we always have some nice discussions going on there.
And you can also find us at vognetwork.com. That's the voice of geeks, internet streaming radio channels. British Invaders, one of several shows on their network.
So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, it's Eamon in England also signing off.